in a world where everyone's got to take a night off now and again, there's one channel that'll keep you company. That's right, it is Neon Pocket Dimension. What is up, everybody?
Yo.
It's a two-person cast tonight.
Oh, yeah.
It's a rare but fun adventure that only happens every so often, but we're excited to be here. I am your host, Luke Shot First. That's right, a.k.a. Gage. Sorry, I was just jamming so good at this music. It's so good. My co-host for the evening is Jacob, a.k.a. OMGesus.
You know,
right
I'm,
there for you.
I'm happy that you dig the music, man. You know, I had fun making this, but you know, it still needs a couple of final touches. We'll also record like a default dub over, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that'll just be like, you know, we'll produce it and we'll throw effects on there and like do it like that Mighty Boosh intro, which is
what I envision
for that.
I started animating one of those, and then I realized it was going to take me like a month probably. It's like, you know, there's, you know how the Mighty Boost has like all the different stuff that comes in. I was trying to mimic it exactly, and I was like, that's going to take a really long time. So what I think I'm just going to do like a kind of a stylized version of it, similarly to some of the other stuff we've done. So we'll see. It'll come. So it'll be our own flavor, but I think it'll be good. Mm-hmm. I'm realizing now this is my new setup, and I'm realizing that I need some stuff on the walls because it's pretty echoey in here. So sorry if there's a little bit of an echo.
Nah, it's cool. Just get some foam for the corners and stuff, and you should be.
Yeah, good. I think I'm gonna order some like cool actual foam. Well, I'll probably make it, but I'll just order some cool cloth and then some foam core and like, you know, make them up. But you know, might as well make it all good while we're here.
Hell yeah.
But anyways, enough about soundproofing my room. But yes, in a new setup now, I'm very stoked. I actually have a desk and a camera where it's supposed to be, and lights and a microphone. So that's good.
It does look excellent.
Yep. I mean, I could get a little more flavor in the background there. I'm going to get some more, maybe some hue-ishness going on, but
flavor
for now.
In your ear.
Yeah, exactly. That's a nice BattleBots hat you got going on. I know I said so already, but it's looking good.
Yeah, thanks, man. You know, I did talk about this in the past, but I watched BattleBots in person with the homie Justin, which we were supposed to go to a boxing match this weekend, and I got so much going on. Dude, I didn't realize it was like Easter, because I thought Easter was always in April, but I guess it falls in the end of March sometimes, so
occasionally,
yeah, it's weird, but it is what it is. But like, I got family shit going on. But yeah, we went to the BattleBots show here in Vegas, and it's kind of like the Tournament of Kings but with robots, because you can kind of tell it's like, all right, these are pre-decided winners most likely and stuff, but it's still entertaining and fun, and like definitely bring your kids to it. But it's called it's like the Bot Melee or something. It's got a name. I'll look it up.
Something like that. Super Smash Bot Lit Melee. Sure.
Yeah, but I love BattleBots, dude. I just finished watching season 6. So, you know, it got crazy. I'm ready to get into the next season. It is called Destructathon. BattleBots Destructathon here in Vegas.
Hell yeah.
But yeah. Bots, man.
Excellent.
Also, by the way, I got my first Gunpla, which I'll talk about in a second. But that's another
very cool.
It's another form of battling bots, Gundam. So, of course, I like robots hitting each other.
I do, too. I mean, I think the world probably needs more of it until the fated day in which robots are actually hitting each other for, you know, war or whatever.
Yeah, for sure.
that'll probably be bad. But anyways, if you didn't know, this is Neon Pocket Dimension. We stream weeknights, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Pacific time right here on twitch.tv/Neon Pocket Dimension. And then you can catch the VOD, the produced podcast later on Fridays. And those come out usually midday sometime, late afternoon other times. Depends on, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But
if you enjoy... I'm always shooting for brand new content at 11 a.m., whatever day it comes out. That's what we shoot for. You know what I mean? So if you're seeing any other content coming earlier or later than that, it's probably older stuff. We've been dropping trickling it in every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I think.
Yeah, that is true. And it's been fun. Every once in a while, I'll just get a little notification like, oh, this episode, and I'm like, oh, I forgot we even did that episode, and I'll listen to 20 minutes of it or so and be like, yeah. Oh yeah, cool. Yeah, and then the five minute gamers, I'll always like give those a rewatch too, because they're fun.
Yeah, those are funny. Steven has a talent for picking games that you probably wouldn't pick for a 5 minute gamer thing. And it's just kind of funny to see him like essentially break the formula each time. Cause I'm like, are you going to be able to actually move your character at all? Let's find out. Are you going to be locked into dialogue for the entire 5 minutes? And we're not supposed to read the dialogue, right? So he's just like smashing A, just like skipping this conversation. We're like, we don't know what's going on. We just want to like see what happens when you can move around a character. So it's a lot of fun.
What was it? Harold Halibut. That game looks so cool, but it was so funny as a 5 minute gamer because you're just like, this is all atmosphere and just weirdness, you know? Awesome. I just rewatched the pineapple on pizza one. That might be my favorite.
That was the second one we did, I think, because the first one we recorded was, I was playing this Game Pass game that's kind of like Ghostbusters, but twin stick shooter basically, which was fun. Yeah. But when he played that game, we were just dying laughing the whole time. So that's
It's consistent laughter. It's pretty good.
I really like that project, and we're gonna keep going with it. This week's was Harold Halibut, and last week's we played Bread and Fred, which, just, you know, quick side story, we are like Apogee creators, which is really cool. You know, so like they gave us a code for, you know, to make content with and whatnot. And I always liked that company even since like the 90s when I was like a little kid on my compact Presario PC. So that's really cool that we got that. But we plan on maybe playing a little bit of that tonight.
Yeah, that's true. I've been going through Steam, and now that I've gotten my Mac that can play games on it, and just going through all the Mac stuff, and I got a few games, so I'm excited to do a little, desktop gaming. Yeah, I'm excited.
Dude, have you considered, really quick, have you considered Tabletop Simulator?
I have. I it's on my wish list, so one of these days, I kind of want to, Steam's so good about, like, you know, doing super sales on shit, so I feel like I'll pick it up one of these days for sure.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. But anyways, so yeah, that's enough horsing around, even though all we're really doing is horsing around tonight since it's a two-person podcast, which I like. It's low-key and it's chill. So let's move on to our Wibnu, which is pretty much what the episode is going to be. Wibnu, of course, is what you've been nerding out on, and it is it's a good time here.
What you've been nerding out on?
Yeah, exactly. I guess I'll start. And anyone who's in the chat, let us know what you've been nerding out on. You can also write in to neonpocketdimension@gmail.com, and you could tell us what you've been nerding out on, or you suggest a topic of sorts or a game or anything like that, and we will we'll totally feature it on the podcast. So give us a short little topic or a prompt or question, whatever you really got going on. And if you have feedback for us or you want to leave a review, always good to do on a podcast platforms around the world, or YouTube or any of that good stuff. So what have I been nerding out on? I'll start off. Spiritfarer came back to Xbox Game Pass, which I love. It's a nice little cozy game. You are a little like person who's shepherding these animal spirits into the afterlife, essentially, and it's like really sad and wholesome all together, but the story is really cool, and there's really cool like mystical moments. You are essentially on this ship that you can kind of build up, like, not Animal Crossing exactly, but it's kind of like a 2D base builder kind of thing on the ship, which is cool. So you get all these different like components, kitchens and I don't know, smelters and wood cutting, or like, you know, mills, and you can upgrade all these things. And then your animal companion friends, you get that you can make rooms specifically for them, and then like they get their own kind of accessory things and things like that in their rooms that they can then help like give you more stuff. So you're getting all these materials and kind of building a base. but also traveling around to different islands and finding little secrets or components to help you upgrade your ship and all that kind of stuff. It's a cool game. And it's just really charming, and the music's great, and there's like some cool magic moments. Like you'll go through a storm and like there'll just be a bunch of like electric jellyfish flying around you and stuff, or like meteor showers. It's pretty cool. And yeah, fishing, lots of good stuff.
People have been telling me to play this game for so long. I think one of these days I do actually have to do it. I would love to play this game. I tried it once and I wasn't like feeling it at the time. I don't know why. I was like, oh, I was kind of confused as to what this was, and I wasn't like in the mood for whatever I was playing at the moment. But I do know that the animation style is really cool.
Yeah, it's like, gorgeous.
I like the art, you know, and I hear everyone talks about this game. So I know one day I'll have to go back and actually play it. And I swear, this is like the fourth time it's come back to Game Pass. It keeps coming to Game Pass. So I'm like, fuck, might as well play it.
So literally I haven't ever uninstalled it because it's a pretty small game. You know, it's like, I think it's like maybe 10 gigs or something like that. Yeah. And so I've just had it on my hard drive the whole time. And then like, it's just been periodically I'll go to play it and it'll be like, no, you can't play this. You don't actually own this game. And I'll be like, oh, bummer, it's off Game Pass. But then it just came back again. And this time when it came back, it's like the complete edition. So there's like, you know, just some DLC stuff in there. So that's cool. There's like now you can do, you can like change your outfit and get like different materials to like do outfit changes and stuff. Which is just like a fun little thing, but like, you know, it's cool. This little mushroom dude, pretty cool. This snake is cool. Plays sitar, Stella the snake. I haven't met that lion yet, but that's cool.
Anyways. Spoilers.
Yeah, but it's pretty wild. You build up these relationships with these people, and you kind of fulfill their like companion quests, and then you have to like bring them to this portal that is like a transference to the afterlife, and then they're like, okay, I'm out. And it's really sad, but then it's also kind of like, oh well, I helped them like fulfill their last wish and stuff like that, which is cool. Occasionally you'll just go up to like a you know, one of your companions, and they'll be like, oh, like I was thinking about like going and seeing my grandson and bringing him like this special treat, but then they're like, oh, but I guess I'll never actually see them again. You're like, oh, brutal.
That's kind of so fucked up.
You know, it's kind of fucked up, but it's like, it's not really supposed to be like dark. It's supposed to be like wholesome, but you know, anyways. Right.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of depressing.
It is sometimes a little depressing for sure. But yeah, anyways, that's been cool. I've been playing that, which has been a nice little, just like sit down on the couch, zone out for a little while, put a podcast on.
Right.
And then I saw Dune 2, which was fucking awesome. Wife and I had a date and went and saw it. I didn't get to see an IMAX or anything, or 70 mil or anything like that, but maybe I will if I get a chance to. But yeah, it was just a cinematic, total cinematic experience. The first one I loved, but it was kind of a lot of setup and a lot of like the, you know, more of the politics, and there's some suspenseful moments and stuff, but it's a little bit more of just kind of like, who are all these people and setting the stakes type of stuff. And then two is really just like, bam,
all the shit's happening. Yeah. It's blowing up.
There he is. There's that golden boy, Paul Atreides.
Lisan al-Gaib.
But yeah, I really dug it for sure.
Yeah. Sick movie, dude. Mochi and I saw it. We'll watch it again, guaranteed. But the cool thing about when we went to go see it is that we watched the first one like the night before to get like back into it, you know, and I really enjoyed it, you know, more than the first viewing. Cause I was like hyping up the second viewing, but you know, for like when you see that first movie in theaters, not knowing, or, you know, some people don't know part two's coming, but like, just all that build up and you're like, oh man, it's all building up, it's about to be really dope, and then the movie ends, which is similar to that Spider-Man movie, what's the one, the animated one,
Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh, there you go. Across the Spider-Verse. Across the Spider-Verse, thank you. Same kind of thing. It's like a part one and the part two is when everything will pop off. And so I bet you if I go back and watch Across the Spider-Verse again, like right before I watch a second one, that movie will hit hella hard, just like Dune did. But yeah, Dune 2 was like super cool. everyone did a great job, and they portrayed the story that at least I knew of, you know, like, I think they did a great job. And like, we know this director is excellent at everything he does. Like, you know, everything just looks incredible and alien and strange and dope. And it's like way less cheesy than the 80s one.
Yeah, that's for sure. Anything Danny Villeneuve does is just going to be like visually spectacular and unique. And he's like so good at just like, yeah, visual storytelling in a lot of ways. I mean, I think there's a lot of like silence in this movie that a lot of like maybe other directors would shy away from. You know, like, there's things about Dune that are like a little bit, now that it's oddly enough, they feel derivative, even though they're kind of the original, you know, like other things that have become arguably more popular than Doom itself.
You're talking about Star Wars,
but other things too. There's,
yeah, of course. I mean,
Avatar, I'm kind of, even like Dragon Ball Z, like there's some definite, like, you know, there's some
well
stuff
there. I mean, Frank Herbert definitely inspired a lot with these books for sure.
Totally.
But no, I saw this like graphic, I wish I had it right now, where it was basically like talking about how Dune is, Star Wars is like Dune, and it like put like a whole bunch of bullet points next to each other, and I was like, yeah, that first Star Wars movie hits all these bullet points, because it's absolutely, like, there's a desert, there's like a boy that's gonna become something bigger, and this and that, like, you know, I'm like, yeah. There's also spice in Star Wars, you know what I
there
mean?
There is. I mean, Han Solo it forgets that he's a spice smuggler. That's like what his main thing is.
Yeah. So I mean, but it's just, you know, it is what it is, dude. Everything's derivative. Everything.
You know, like Star Wars definitely has a very different tone than what Dune does. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's like,
of course, it's definitely its own thing, but you could see the influence, you know?
Yeah. Anyone who hasn't, or who is getting into Dune now, who maybe wasn't before, there's a really good documentary called Jodorowsky's Dune, which is where Jodorowsky is a crazy, weird avant-garde filmmaker. And he was lined up to do a Dune film that just went way off the rails, went way over budget, eventually got canned. But man, like, there's a lot of, it would have been pretty cool to get this, this version, because it's just so out there and way more colorful. And like the, it's like more psychedelic in a lot of ways. And I'm not necessarily saying it would have been good, but it would have been weird at least. But it's a worthy thing to watch, the documentary, for sure. Yeah. Look at that. Look at that weirdo.
Some fucking weird shit, dude.
It is.
But this is the, this is the movie about the making of a movie that we'll never see.
Yeah, exactly.
I gotta check that out.
But yeah, it was like he had more of like this kind of H.R. Giger mixed with like colorful Pink Floyd psychedelia thing going on. You know, anyways. Yeah. And then everyone's been telling me to watch the sci-fi show that is apparently about Dune Messiah, I think is actually what it covers.
I think it actually there's two sci-fi shows, if I'm not mistaken, because they do make like a Dune sci-fi show, but then they did do Dune Messiah. So I do want to watch those as well. I'm with you there, buddy.
Yeah. I think they're all for my buddy told me they're all free on YouTube, so I'm going to check that out.
Thanks for that heads up as well. Also, I do have the audiobook of the first Dune, so eventually I'll continue to listen to that.
Yeah, I read the first one. I haven't read Messiah or Children of Dune, which are the only three that Frank Herbert actually wrote, and then his son continued the series after that.
Yeah.
I know it just gets pretty bonkers, like... I haven't read the book, so this isn't really a spoiler, but I know like God Emperor of Doom, like one of the like the he
don't, not Apollo don't say Atreides, it. But don't say it. Don't say it. That is a spoiler. Right. Whatever you're about to say is a big spoiler.
I mean, it's like on the cover, but I feel
doesn't matter.
Okay, I won't say
keep it to yourself. Anyways, because everything I think what you're about to say, everything that's happening in all these books is leading to that moment and that particular person. If you want to call him a person, I know exactly what you're fucking talking about. Don't.
All right. Party on. I'm not going to say shit.
Don't do it.
Get there.
You know how passionate I am about not spoiling things, right?
Yeah, totally. Right. And especially if people are getting into something right now. So I get you on
come
that.
Come on. Read the books. Yeah. I'm going to listen to them for sure. eventually.
Yeah, the first one was a good read. I mean, it's weird. It's weird, but there's some really good stuff. And I love all the terminology. Like, it's just so foreign, but I like how it's all kind of like Arabic, so like adjacent. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Lisan al Gaib, the Gom Jabbar, the Kitsat Hadarach, you know, the Muad'Dib. There you go. Muad'Dib, that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Muad'Dib. Two different things.
Oh yeah, totally.
But and still then, referring to the same person. Let's not talk about it. That's too confusing. And
what do they call the worms again? They call them the
Shai-Hulud, bro.
Shai-Hulud.
How could you forget? The Shai-Hulud.
Running down the ticker, you know what I'm saying? but yeah, I love all that. You know what I mean? It's it's a fun way to communicate. And the whole Bene Gesserit. Like the whole idea of like this like deep-seated prophecy and plot throughout like generations upon generations, like that's a trippy thing.
Basically female witch eugenicists, which is not good. Eugenics is a bad thing. Don't do that shit. Bad thing. Okay.
But it's like that on like an epic time scale, like thousands of years, you know what I mean?
It's wild. Dude, you know what though? Like liking Dune makes me really want to start getting into Warhammer. Because I see a lot of fucking influence that Dune also had on Warhammer. Because it's like also really distantly in the future, and there's just like similar themes, like all the Marines and stuff are like religious warriors essentially, like they're like zealots. Yeah. The Space Marines, you know. And by the way, you've been playing that game, right? What's it called? The
Bolt Gun,
yeah. Have you played that game yet? I know we've talked about it.
I just started it. No. So I wouldn't even really like consider, but just the style alone from the beginning, I was just like, yeah, this fucking rips.
Fucking rad as shit. Yeah. And then there's like a taunt button where like Rahul Kohli or Kohli, however you say his name. He's like, it's just him saying like crazy, like British guy voice, like, I'm going to destroy the heretics, you know?
Yeah,
it's fucking sick, dude.
It must have been so fun to do that. Like, just be an over the top, like, aggro space marine.
I like how Warhammer is all about, like, you know, the Godhead, while Helldivers 2 is all about democracy. Just all these, like,
I probably can't play Helldivers 2 on my Mac, but I should check that out. I doubt it, but that's already on PC, right? That came out day and date PC. That's why it's so successful,
and that's why I have it, and also that's why I got it for cheap, because I use third-party sellers these days for all my CD keys if I can. For instance, Dragon's Dogma 2, $70 game, and you know, on everything. For some reason, found a CD key of it on Fanatical for like $57. So I saved some money. It's awesome. I just had to wait till the game actually released to get my CD key, just to like reveal itself, and then I was immediately playing it. And I've gotten so many games for cheap, dude. Balatro for $10 the day it released, and that's $5 off of a $15 game.
Love that. I almost bought Balatro last night, but I was like, I kind of want to play that on a mobile thing, you know what I'm saying? So
buy it for Switch.
I sold my Switch, believe it or not.
Why?
I was,
you're a monster. You know what?
I am a monster. My buddy had never played a Switch before, and he wanted one for him and his girl to play like party games together. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? I'm moving out of town. I'm thinking about getting a Steam Deck, which is the real truth of the thing. Although now with that one allegedly emulator going down, then maybe I won't be able to necessarily play my Nintendo games there, but allegedly.
You don't think there'll be another?
There will be. Yeah.
Fucking, you know, come on. What's up, Mr. Hawks? I see you in the chat.
Nice butt.
Do I have that connection?
Yeah, but anyways, nope, there
it's not in here. I forgot. So I've added a lot of random commands to the chat. So just put an exclamation point, start, and try to, you know, type something in. Like,
see what happened.
Endorsement? Was that what it was?
I thought it, yeah. Or it was no, like,
I think it's endorse. Yeah, they better not just endorse beer again, is what it says.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I have like some fun commands in the chat. That's a good reason to watch us live Wednesday nights, 7 p.m. Pacific time, twitch.tv/neonpocketdimension. That's right. We're live right now. Or we were, exactly. If you're watching later on YouTube.
That's true.
Just saying.
So yeah, Dune 2, cool. Mm-hmm. Sorry, got a bug in my throat. And then television, check it out. The broadcasting shows all across the airwaves. I've been watching The Three Body Problem on Netflix.
Oh yeah.
Very, very stoked on the show. I just finished the trilogy of Three Body Problem saga of Zijin Liu is the author. So I read all the books. I had just finished the third one last month. Mm-hmm. And then this show came out. There was already a Chinese show, but being that it was produced in China and is from China, a lot of the kind of not anti-Chinese, but like the kind of just real heavy depiction of the Chinese Revolution, which is a kind of a big thing in the beginning of the story, was just cut out of that show, I guess. So that's kind of, you know, there was a lot of censorship kind of bullshit going on.
That makes sense to cut out so that they can, like, you know, have people in China watch it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, exactly. It's a vibe. But anyways, this series so far, I really didn't know. This is from the creators of Game of Thrones, D.B. Weiss and David Benioff,
or whatever his name is.
Yes, and it's the first major thing they've done since Game of Thrones. I think they did one other little something, but Netflix is really like putting the budget behind it, which is cool. And I wasn't sure how they were going to do the show. And I think they've made smart decisions to adapt it to a television show. They made it a little more universal, so it's not so China centric, which on the one hand, I think that's one of the reasons why the book series is like pretty unique, is because it is so Chinese in nature. Like it's got such a Chinese perspective on science fiction, which is interesting. This is the Chinese version of the show, yeah.
Why don't we just watch the Chinese version?
Yeah, I'd be down. I'd be interested. But it is very different, I've heard. I've heard a little bit of both, so who knows.
So which one's better?
I don't know. I'd have to watch the Chinese one. But so far, the Netflix one is awesome. It's super suspenseful. They've shifted it from being not just in China, but also the modern day stuff is taking place in London for the most part. But with all mostly Chinese actors and, then a couple others also. But it's gripping. And so far, my wife and I have been watching it together, and, we can't take our eyes off. It's the type of show where we put the phones away, everything is off, and we just like absorb it. Take a weed gummy and just get into it type of vibe.
There you go.
It's good. It's been a while since the show has gripped me that way.
God, I gotta tell you about a show in a sec too.
Hell yeah. So anyways, I strongly recommend it, even if you don't plan on reading the books or anything. I think they've done a good version of like condensing it down in a bit of a way where it's mostly just about this kind of main key factor that the show is about, that I don't even really want to spoil because it's like so...
Yeah, don't.
You know, no, I mean, not even like just even the themes of it. You know what I mean? I don't even really want to say. It's a sci-fi suspense, almost tech noir kind of thing going on with a bigger reveal that changes the whole narrative. So, but yeah, it's great. It's super cool.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I remember telling me about the book. Like, I mean, I don't know if it was last year or the year before that, but you were talking about this last year a lot. Whoa.
Yeah, I started the first book, I think, at the end of last year. Yeah, so put that away. it's all about like physicists and a bunch of stuff. It's really hard to dance around it, but it's good for sure.
Hey, we'll find out when we watch it. Mochi Squeeze and I will watch that shit. You know what
Definitely.
I I can't wait.
Definitely. And last but not least, I know I'm going long here, but that's kind of what we're doing tonight, right? I've been nerding out on a lot of good ass music that's been coming out in 2024.
Okay.
I don't know. We'll, I think probably maybe in like 2 months or something, we should do a music so far type of thing.
Yeah, I got some cool shit.
Yeah, totally. There's been some albums and some stuff this year that I just want to shout out real fast. Hmm. I'm not going to spoil anything, Nightbot. Don't you be like that. And it, yeah, Cherry actually put me on to the fact that it was out. I thought this was coming out later in the year. I thought it was going to be like June, but it was out just like that. Oh, Mr. Hawks. Yeah, I did a Green Day tier list all tipsy one night. And then I watched back the recording and there was a bunch of audio issues. So I never put that out. Mm-hmm. I'll redo it. And now that I have my new setup and my new computer, because I did like content, but mm-hmm. it'll happen, Mr. Hawks. Maybe you can come on with me and do it.
Maybe.
Maybe so. Anyways, some shout outs to some really good music this year. The Last Dinner Party, I'm really high on them. They're an all female badass, like just rock band, I would say. They got a lot of like David Bowie-ish stuff, some kind of Queen stuff, but with a more modern modern flavor, for sure. And then kind of, I don't want to say like heart, but there's some heart in there. And then maybe some like Kate Bush kind of thing going on. Cool. But they are just, they're just really fucking good. I think they were the product of the pandemic where they just had 2 years to just like rehearse the shit out of all their stuff and make this first album like really, really good. And so, yeah, this first album sounds like it could be like the fourth album of another band. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
So they're really cool. Dive, which is one of my favorite like shoegaze bands, has been coming out with singles. They're about to put out. They're called DIIV.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I always say Div, which is wrong.
They say Dive when they say it. So whatever. Yeah.
That's why I said it's wrong.
There it is. Yeah. My wife and I saw them at this little tiny club in New York when they were first starting out.
Yeah.
And just like totally fell in love with them. It was a total like just punk show. It was this little tiny it looked like a school gymnasium. It was like a really funny little tiny show, but we had such a good time. And then saw them later at Outside Lands, a big festival.
Nice.
And they put out singles and they're about to put out a new album, and all the singles they've put out so far have been really good. Shout out to Brown Paper Bag, which is probably my favorite. Hmm. And then two more real fast. I'll just run through. Idols put out a really good album called Tank, TANGK, this year, which is, if you know Idols, it's like a balls to the wall British kind of hardcore kind of indie rock band. And they're just like, they're just really unique. They're like angry, but like also really good messaging and good lyrics. And they did one of the songs off the record. This song is with LCD Sound System, so it got a bit of that dance punk thing going on.
Nice.
Just a really good record if you need some high energy stuff. And last but not least, there's this band called Mannequin Pussy.
Called what?
And they are also
what's it called?
Reckon with all girls. I think all girls, or at least girl front runners. And yeah, they
Mannequin
kick major butt,
Pussy. For sure. Okay. Gage, can you hear me? He can't hear me anymore. But there you go. There's Mannequin Pussy, dude. There you go. I knew he was going to disappear for a second there because his internet was not going so well. But look at their sick ass merch. That's pretty cool. Mannequin.
Yeah, seriously.
Are you back?
I'm back. The first song on that album, I've Got Heaven, is just like, it's fucking badass. It's just really like really fun to listen to. It's just like really like rambunctious and kind of it's just full of angst for sure.
Nice.
Hell yeah, dude. That's my hope. Well, that's my extended wide news. So thanks for indulging me.
Sweet. Yeah, no, you're good, man. That's what we're here for. We're here to just nerd out. First of all, Dragon's Dogma 2. What a game.
Let's get into it.
What a fucking game. So I'm playing it. Gage, you don't have it, right?
No, I don't.
You don't have it. Okay. That's fine. You don't have it. But I have
it. Go for it, though. Get into it. Yeah.
Steven has it. It's good. It's a good game. You know what I mean? People have things to say about microtransactions. Sure, that sucks. And we should have been talking about this for years. But we don't. And for some reason, they immediately wanted to attack this game. Meanwhile, kind of funny, was lukewarm on the game, and they barely played it for like an hour or two. And it's like there's no justice in the world, you know? But in real life, Dragon's Dogma 2 is fucking sick. It's cool as hell. If you like...
to be fair, Andy put out on Gamescast today, he put out a whole retraction. He's like, we're just going to delete that other Gamescast. It's actually the sickest game. He's like all about it now.
It's incredible. I know. I watched that video too. Yeah, but it's just a ton of fun, man. So like, if you like fantasy stuff, play this game. It's really good. The first game I enjoyed a lot. This game is like basically more the same but better. You know what I mean? That's the best way I can put it. They've improved upon everything they needed to improve upon. I'm having a lot of fun with it. The pawns are great. Like the pawns are like, you know, like half of the fun of the entire game. Like you make a pawn and then throughout the game you're also hiring pawns made by other players. That's what's cool about it. But when you do hire pawns, they don't level up or anything. So you kind of like take them like a snapshot of a pawn until you're ready to like swap them out with someone who's a higher level. And you just continuously swap in and out like your number three and number fourth party member, whereas your own pawn is leveling up with you, which is cool. So having a lot of fun with that, you know, it there's like an opportunity to essentially swap in and out like characters that other players are playing, are creating. And it leads to some funny moments and a variety of characters. But then there's also the characters in the game and the quests and stuff. I mean, this is still a fantasy game. So, you know, you're still doing fantasy shit. You're going on quests. You're like going into dungeons. You're finding treasure. You're fighting bosses and monsters, whatever. That's what's fun about the game. Is the moment-to-moment gameplay. Also, the exploration is incredible. Like, if you like Elden Ring, what's great about Elden Ring is it's the exploration version of a Dark Souls game, essentially. But the fun thing about this game is it's exploration in a more, I'd say, traditional kind of fantasy setting. Yeah, it can be challenging at times, but for the most part, it's just fun, you know? It's just a good time.
What's the combat like?
So the combat, like, if you've played any Capcom game, you know that it's quirky. Have you played any Monster Hunter games?
I played some on the DS, so I don't know. My experience felt like it was way old school at this point, but yeah.
Right, and so, like, you know, I think that they have improved upon that with the more modern ones, but the point is, like, the way that Capcom makes their games, it's like, you know... I'm not trying to say it feels like stilted, but like much like Dark Souls games or From games, like animations take time, you know, you need to like really be paying attention to what your character, like where your character's facing and like, you know, what you're doing at the time and like how many frames an animation takes, you know, and that's just like normal gamer shit, but it's a little slower with Capcom games. It's even like that with Resident Evil games, you know. It's totally, like that with definitely. Monster Hunter. It's, you know, it's so it's not like there's like this big deal about it. You'll get used to it right away, but like it's still like a shit ton of fun. I mean, essentially, you're going around, you're like killing goblins and stuff, and then you'll level up, and then you can get some new skills. You're trying those out, but then shit's always dynamic. Like something crazy will spawn in. Or like a big monster will jump in there and now you're just fighting like a griffin. You're like, oh fuck, a griffin just showed up. You know, that can happen anywhere sometimes. And that's what's like fun about it is just as you're like leveling, you know, you're able to take on more things and try more quests out and whatever. and you're swapping in and out all these like different party members essentially with the pawns. Like, this is Dragon's Plague, by the way, which I'll mention in just a sec. So like, as you're always like, it's always like something new's happening and it's always surprising you. Whereas like the exploration is also a delight because that's also surprising you. Like, you're seeing something, you're like, how the fuck do I get there? And so you're just trying to figure out how to get to that thing, you know, or like when you get to the thing, you're like, oh, there's a golem here. Oh shit. Let's like fight this thing. Or you're like running away, you know, but, it's still got the RPG vibes. You know, you're still like going through item, or you're going through and organizing your items, and you know, it's just all that RPG shit is still happening around you as well. Totally. And the way everyone talks in this game is like kind of funny. It's like really old English and like over the top and hilarious. But yeah, so what's Dragon's Plague? Quick PSA to all the gamers out there. If your pawn is acting really weird, weirder than normal, and has like red glowing eyes, throw it in the fucking water and have it die. Because that's the only way you can cure Dragon's Plague. If you don't cure Dragon's Plague by killing your own pawn, it'll infect other pawns, which will infect other people's pawns in their games too, and then a calamity will happen. I won't spoil what the calamity is, but something bad will happen if you don't cure the shit. But it's just, I just think it's funny that it takes you killing your own pawn essentially to cure them of it.
I like kind of hardcore aspects of game design that come in like that. Like, I like it when people take swings like that, like in Hellblade, where like there is technically permadeath that could just take you for like most of the game to get towards, you know what I mean?
That right there, what you just said, is the bread and butter of why Dragon's Dogma, even the first game, that's why Dragon's Dogma is good, because it's like, they are taking big swings. They're like trying to be quirky. They're trying to make this world feel immersive and real, where like you wouldn't have all of the answers like technically right away, you know. It so it feels alive, like anything can happen, and it's a lot of fun. Like for instance, this is a slight spoiler, but I won't get into it, but when you get to find the elves at some point, you'll find some elves, but like the quirk there is really, really interesting, because it almost seems like it's hindering the gameplay, but like in a creative way. So I'm not going to say exactly what it's like over there in Elf Village, because it has been told to me what it's like when you find the elves. But when you realize what I'm talking about, you'll be like, oh shit, this game is cool. And there's a lot of moments like that, like people like knocking over an ogre, like to essentially make like a bridge across a gap. Or like someone knocked over an ogre that sort of slumped over a gap, so then someone could jump and grab onto him and climb up like on top of a, you know, across like a broken bridge or something. So, and it's just like really cool dynamic moments like that. So yeah, Dragon's Dogma 2 is really fun. Also, Diablo 4 is coming to Game Pass tomorrow. So I've been like playing that a little bit. They're having like a double XP and gold week or something like that. So I've been like leveling up my character in there and having fun with that. Cool. Still playing Balatro. So having fun with games and stuff. Happy that Mochi Squeeze is home. She's been away from home dealing with some shit. But she's back. She's downstairs right now. It's great to have her back. So my house is restored. I'm happy about that too.
That's good.
Gundam update. Like I said earlier, I did order a Zaku 2 custom, which is like the bad guy from the original Gundam show, his like red Zaku, essentially. Like,
oh yeah.
It's totally. Like really fast. It's, you know, the red comet version. But I didn't have hobby clippers or like a file thing. So I ordered those, but I'll start building that. And then I can't wait to show you guys the Gunpla. What's Gunpla? It's just the Gundam models, you know, for mobile suits and stuff. You see
there's such a big culture around Gunpla builds and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's massive. And well, the reason why I'm doing that is because Mochi Squeeze's nephew, he's like 3 years old, or is he, like how old is he now? I mean, I think he's three. He's already building Gunpla with his dad, and I'm like, man, I'm the Gundam fan here, I gotta buy some Gunpla. And I know that he had his Zaku 2 custom of some sort. And so I just ordered one off Amazon. I'm like, I'll do one too. Whatever. Let's have fun, you know? And you know, the homie, Pandafin does a lot of Gunpla builds. So I was like, hey, I'm going to buy this. And he was all excited, giving me a bunch of links and shit. So I'll be building Gundams and mobile suits, mark my words, and I'll be showing them on the podcast, therefore continuing the Gundam update. gotta love
it.
Hell
yeah, we need it. We need it. We gotta love it.
Absolutely.
If you do subscribe to us on Twitch, you get the Gundam update emoji along with other awesome emotes in there too. It's just a little perk for you. Yeah, and ad free viewing, of course.
There's a couple other ones like Drink Check, Guinness. I still have a lot of Irish beer at this house right now.
Oh, that's a good problem to have. A great thing about my new apartment is I live literally one block from Gigantic Brewery, which is a Portland brewery, but you can get their stuff all over. So I'm drinking their Kolsch right now.
Nice.
But it's like literally like it's stumble distance down the street. Like I can just go two blocks that way and it's right there. Nice. So that's good. I'm very excited about that.
Stumble distance,
meaning I could have gotten back from other bars and be like, I want one more beer. And then I just kind of stumble down to there and I'm like, hey, give me a beer. And they're like, hey, go home. That's what happens.
Awesome. I've been watching anime. I finally finished rewatching Jujutsu Kaisen season one. Nice. Season one, that is. So I still have to watch the movie. That's the next thing. And season two. One Piece, I'm still trucking on that. But Solo Leveling, it's a good ass show. Still recommend that.
Oh, yeah. You mentioned that last week's podcast. What's that about?
It's the opposite of isekai, so it's like magic monsters are invading our world, and so certain people get like powers to be like a fantasy, like an RPG character essentially. But like once you get your powers, you can't like grow or lose like in power. So wherever you are is like how strong you are. But the main character is the weakest adventurer out there, and that's kind of how it starts. And that's how a lot of these things start. But like, let me tell you. This motherfucker starts to get stronger. I'm not going to explain how. You should watch it. It's really good. I've surpassed the dub episodes because like I'm really feeling it. So I'm just watching, you know, the episode that comes out immediately. So been doing the subs on the last couple episodes of those. Like I added a shit ton of stuff to my wish list. So I'm trying out some shows. So I'll get back to you on that. Although I do want Mochi Squeeze to watch that volleyball one with me, which is Haikyuu with an exclamation point.
Haikyuu, yeah.
Yeah. Totally. I'm going to make a list of shows that aren't like shonens that are like more interesting or something different. And Haikyuu's at the top of that list. I think she'll dig that show. Also, there's that show that Frankfurter told me about that I've been waiting to maybe watch. Which is like the dungeon cook thing. I want to make her watch that shit with me too.
Yeah, that one got such good reviews, and I kept seeing stuff for it when it first came out, and it looked really interesting. So
it's on Netflix, and Sandlands on Hulu, and I want to watch that too. It's a lot of anime.
Oh, Sandlands on Hulu?
Yeah,
I didn't even realize they made an anime. I thought it was still just a manga. That's awesome.
No, yeah, I think the whole season's on Hulu, dude. So I gotta watch that.
I may have dropped Sandland from my fantasy crypt today.
Yeah, it's kind of okay. Did you try the demo?
I think it's good. No, I didn't. Is it on Xbox?
Yeah, demo? That's how I played it.
Oh, it is. Okay. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll try it. Anyways, because I am actually interested in the game. It's not really that I don't think I'll like the game in some sense. I think it's probably that demo might have been a weird kind of chunk and kind of directionless of the game, you know what I mean?
A sandbox vertical slice, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, if you were to drop me into like the middle of like Dragon Quest 11, you know what I mean? Like the last one that just came out. Like there's sections of that game where if you were to just drop me in to these kind of open area spots, like I'd probably be like, all right, whatever, you know what I mean? But overall,
yeah,
the story and the characters and where you end up and some of the epic moments in those games is like what really brings that all together. Plus, like, even though it's grindy, it's kind of just satisfying to just level up your people and all that kind of stuff. So right. I know that this has a lot more vehicle combat than that type of game does, so that could probably be a little clunky, I would assume, at times.
Yeah, I mean, the vehicle combat stuff was kind of fun. Like, that's where I was having more fun, but then I just, I don't know, I just felt awkward. From when I played, I was like, I don't really like this that much.
Yeah, totally.
This is like,
I think it's probably going to get sixes and sevens, I would imagine. So I dropped that shit. Open Roads came in at like a 76 for me, which is not the worst, but not very good either.
That's still points, at least. Points. Yeah.
Yep. And I actually I am going to check that game out. It's coming out on Game Pass soon, next couple days, tomorrow maybe?
No, tomorrow, literally.
Yeah.
But instead of playing that, you need to play Diablo 4 with me.
Oh, no, that's true. Open Roads will be one I play with my wife whenever she has some time to sit down and play games. We like to sit down and play those narrative games together. So,
And I did tell you this, but I'll just recommend check out Return to Grace for that. Similar vibes. It is a first person kind of like narrative, like walking simulator type of game, but from what I've played so far, I was like, this is cool, this is really interesting.
Hell yeah. Oh yeah, was that on Game Pass too? I saw that
it is on Game Pass still. Yeah,
cool. Yeah, it looked trippy and kind of cool.
It is cool. Yeah, check it out.
Dang it, why is this internet being so buddy?
I'm sorry. Also, Shogun's really good. I know that we need to watch more of that, but that's another really good show to watch. Shogun, dope. BattleBots, of course. Watch that shit. BattleBots on Max. You could start from the first season that's on there, which is season 3. I started from season 5, but damn, I just love that shit so much. Or you can watch Gundam if you have Crunchyroll. There's a lot of Gundam shows on there. Watch the original Gundam.
There's some Gundam on Amazon Prime right now. I was watching, I think it was just Gundam Wing on there.
On Netflix, they have, if you don't want to watch like the original show like in its entirety, they have like essentially the whole original show broken down into 3 movies. You can just watch them in movie form, essentially. So that'd be probably a good way to watch it. And then Gundam The Origin might be the way like as a prequel to watch next. But hey, we could talk about this shit forever. You know what I'm saying?
Have you been watching Shogun by any chance?
Yeah, I was just talking about that. I think when you cut out for a sec. Shogun is good. Definitely watch Shogun. The show rips ass, dude.
I'm only on episode 3, but I've been really loving it so far. That's another one I'm watching with my wife. We only watch it when we have time to sit down and watch a, you know, hour long episode of television or whatever. But
I think we've only seen the first 3 so far. So definitely need to watch a couple more. I'm pretty excited for that. Dude, you know what is also on Max, dude? All the like a bunch of Akira Kurosawa movies. Totally. So I want to get her to watch Yojimbo and Seven Samurai with me and shit.
Mannequin Pussy
is crazy, dude.
They go off. They really do. They have a lot of energy. A while ago, I downloaded all the Kira Kurosawa, allegedly downloaded all of the Kira Kurosawa movies, like in high def, from an alleged website called allegedly the Pirate Bay. It's great. So I have his entire discography, which is cool. It's interesting to watch like his non-samurai films because they're also really good. They're slow, but they're like, you know, as far as like filmmaking goes, like really, really interesting. So
yeah, I love the samurai trilogy about Musashi. Yeah, it's really good. So yeah, I'll eventually get Mochi Master Squeeze to watch that shit with me. It'll be incredible. I can't wait.
It's definitely like film history. It's good to like, it's fun to watch that kind of stuff sometimes. Chia.
Yes, sir. Let's see. Is there anything else I could think of? There was something I'm forgetting.
Last thing, and this is just for you and me to touch on real fast because we always like to. I got back on my Elden Ring character specifically to gear up for DLC, like with the, you know, with the trailer coming out and everything, you know, we know that you gotta, I'd already beaten Radahn. I need to beat Moog. So I'm gearing up to, I've fought him a few times and he kicked my butt, but so I'm just like leveling and kind of like going around the world, getting some stuff that I want, like unlocking as many of the, like the smithing stone bell bearings and stuff like that. So I can like upgrade. Cause I figure with the DLC, there's going to be a lot of new weaponry that you want to like try out, you know what I mean? That kind of stuff. So I want to, maybe new spirit summons, which I didn't even think about until just now, but so getting the bell bearings for the glove warts and all that kind of stuff. So, just like getting my character ready to, cause I was thinking about doing it within my new game plus character, but then again, I was like, it's probably going to be really hard already. Like some FromSoft DLCs are already usually like ramped up on the difficulty.
Yeah.
So I was like, maybe I won't do it with my new game plus character and I'll just do it with this current character that I'm running through. We'll see. I kind of want to beat the game again first. I don't know. It's hard to say.
So, you know, I got
what about
the,
you?
I got the 100% achievement.
I know you did.
My last character was a whatever. What is it? Holy character? Was it the incantation character? So I had faith. You know, it was like essentially a faith build, mostly strength and faith. So that character is pretty badass. But after I beat the game, like I still had to beat Melania and Moog. I didn't beat either of them. So I just like left the character sitting there. So I was like, that might be my DLC character right there.
That's pretty cool.
But it depends, because I feel like I already started New Game Plus with my mage character. I can't remember, you know, but I would run that shit with my mage. But something to keep in mind with the DLC, the progression for things are going to be different. So
totally.
I wonder if even the new weapons and stuff will have like a different upgrade system.
Yeah, it's possible. And in past FromSoft DLCs, I know they've had things like, I forget what they called them, but there's like a power modifier where it's like an additional stat type of thing that levels, you know what I mean? So maybe they'll implement something along those lines here.
Yeah, I think that was what they were basically saying, is that there's going to be a completely different progression. So we'll see. Yeah. We'll see if, you know, like grinding it all or like setting yourself up for the DLC, like, amounts to nothing because they want you to essentially like everyone to start at like zero essentially.
Yeah, totally. Which would be totally fine with me either way. I like playing Elden Ring. And it's also just a question for me of, I mean, obviously I could respec probably. I'm assuming you're gonna be able to go in and out of the DLC area, maybe, hopefully. I could respec probably and do what I want, but I think overall, I think I liked playing the way I played my first playthrough of Elden Ring better, like with the what was it, greatsword, dex and faith built. I think I like doing that ultimately better than my magic build. So, we'll see.
Cool. I mean, I'm stoked. I can't wait. We got to get back to Elden 3 for Neon Gaming Dimension. We definitely need to do that. But honestly, like, you know, all that energy right now for me is going to Dragon's Dogma 2.
Which I'm glad it's got its hooks in you. I think you could probably scratch the Skyrim itch maybe. So it might be one that I go back to at some point.
You should definitely consider getting Dragon's Dogma 2 at some point. I think you'll love it. You don't need the first one, trust me.
Oh, I know. It's just kind of a redo, it feels like, of the first one.
Yeah. Unless you get it for really cheap, like, you know, on Switch or something.
I played a decent amount of it on Switch. I played probably like 14 hours of that game on Switch.
Okay.
One thing I remember, or I've actually heard, Joe Screbbles of the IGN, formerly of the IGN UK podcast, he talked about Dragon's Dogma, and he talked about just like how batshit the story gets in that game. Have you experienced any of that in Dragon's Dogma 2?
I can't remember. So probably not. But did you know Joe Scrabbles is actually like a moniker for like anyone who doesn't want to be credited?
Yeah, a fake name. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's secondly not one person either. It's just like a pen name anyone could use.
Certainly. However, this man that I follow is also on this podcast called Regular Features, which is a hilarious podcast if you haven't listened to it. He's just called Joe on that one. They don't call him Scrabbles. So yeah, you know, a fake name. Who knows?
It's all confusing. Cool. Video
but
games.
I know this man. I know this man's voice by heart for sure.
Nice.
There you go.
Video games, right?
Fun. Video games are cool. Movies are cool. TV's cool. Anime is cool.
Yeah, man. Music.
Books are cool. Music's cool. Oh. I know. I really will. We should try and look for a good music guest for later this year.
Absolutely. Have you heard, really quick before we get out of here, have you heard Cheerleader by Porter Robinson yet?
Yes. Actually, you shared it the other day, I think at the music channel or on Twitter.
Yeah.
And very cool.
Yeah, dope. Dope as fuck. I can't wait to hear the rest of the album. You know, Porter's back, baby.
Porter's back. Justice is back. They've been putting Justice out singles. Too, yeah. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah,
sweet. Some good music.
2011 all over again. yeah, no, I'm stoked. It looks like it's going to be another really good year for tunes. Hell yeah. Do you have any endorsements this week, or should we just get out of here?
Endorsement. Let me endorse. Let's see. What have I been doing lately? Oh, you know what? I'm gonna do an endorsement because I didn't talk about it, so I'm just gonna endorse it. Dude, this Halo season 2 show is like good, bro. So watch it.
Oh, cool.
Paramount.
Nice.
Plus.
I have a
watch.
I have a Paramount Plus 30-day trial, so maybe I'll jump in and do that.
Yeah, just get through season 1. You'll get through it.
I did that.
Okay, season 2 is dope. I think on the last episode is the next thing, and like, so episode 7 of 8 was like crazy, and it's all kind of building up. Yeah, they kind of like, they didn't have the budget to do reach enough service, but like, I feel like they've pivoted the show into like an enjoyable thing to watch. So I can endorse season 2. I'll put that out there.
Nice. All right. Well, yeah, Game Pass gives you a 30-day trial of Paramount Plus. So I'm gonna I'll take that and then I'll run with it. I'm going to endorse a YouTube series called Natural Six.
Yeah.
This is an actual play of D&D featuring a bunch of different video game voice actors. Can you hear me at all?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, cool. And it's got the voice of Geralt of Rivia from The Witcher. It's got Ben Starr, who's the voice of Clive from Final Fantasy 16. And then other voice actors who I admit I actually don't know what they're from, but they're all very good. Really DM, I'm not sure what his backstory is either, really, but I've never watched any D&D like on Twitch or anything like that before. Cool. Yeah, so this is my first, like, you know, I know it's a really popular thing with Critical Role and stuff like that. Even though this isn't that, I love Natural Six. Watching some D&D, and I'm feeling good about it. It's got me in the D&D mood. So we'll see if you know, maybe we end up like we talked about. Maybe we end up doing a small little campaign or something fun like that.
Yeah, I mean, I have, like I said, I have the Rick and Morty like pre-made set, and it's just like one long dungeon. So if you want to just dip your toes in, we could play you know, over Twitch or something, and we'll record it, and or we won't, I don't know, we'll see. But pretty excited for that, man. I'll DM any game. I'm down.
Sweet. Hell yeah, man. Well, that is a form of Neon Pocket Dimension this week. We have it just a twofer for you. Plagued with Comcast coming down on me hard. I'm a Comcast boy now.
Ugh.
I know the pain of being a Comcast boy, unfortunately. So I'll have to see how that goes. I'll have to do a little tweaking. We'll see how we get there. But anyways, thanks for bearing with us, everyone. And in the meantime, check out Neon Pocket Dimension and all of our episodes on youtube.com/@@NeonPocketDimension. Also check out other channels, Neon Gaming Dimension, where all things gaming. I know there was a lot of gaming talk tonight, which was kind of a throwback. But typically we do, you know, more topic of the show kind of vibes on the show, and then all the gaming focused stuff on Neon Gaming Dimension. And then the one that started it all, Odd Valley Studios, where the show Odd Valley Tavern, which is a Jacob's phenomenal drinking show, along with the aforementioned Joy. And they break down all sorts of cool topics, play a lot of games, do some drinking games, spin some wheels. It's a good time over there, for sure. I'll have to come back on there soon enough. But yeah, that's check out all of our stuff. And then if you're here on Twitch, you already know, you're already in the right place. Twitch.tv/NeonPocketDimension Wednesday nights, 7 p.m. And then later on podcast services and YouTube. Yeah.
Hell yeah, dude. Sweet.
Thanks for watching, everybody.
Leave us with a quick quote.
It was St. Patty's Day recently, and since I wasn't able to be on the stream, a little St. Patty's Day prayer or blessing is just may the wind always be at your back.
There you go. Cheers, and good night.